It's all the kicker's fault, John. That's all that matters in Viking land. The kicker missed the kick. We can blame the kicker. We can go back to Gary Anderson and blame the kicker for all the Vikings' woes. The kickers are the reason the Vikings have never won the Super Bowl. Let's just keep it that simple because it makes everybody feel good.
Only reason they're not 2-0 is the kicker. The only reason that this organization has never won a Super Bowl is the kicker. If we could just figure out the kicker, everything would be perfect. Everything would be fine. This would be the Patriots, like, of the NFC. No question about it. That is the only thing standing in the way of the Vikings and world dominance.
Well, it's going to be a short show. We just solved all the Vikings problems. Hey, thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. We'll talk to you next week. Now, there's a little more to it. There's a little more to it, and that is kind of exactly my point. There are more than 100 plays in an NFL game. There are 22 starters. There are about 10 key backups. There's a lot going on out there besides the missed kick. Of course, the missed kick was costly. Of course, they would have won the game if the kick had gone through. But if you think it's that simple, we have a show for you. This is the Viking Update Show. This is part of TalkNorth.com. Thank you for listening. By the way, we're doing some cool stuff with Pizza Luce these days. We had a Cheryl Reeve show live at the Downtown Pizza Luce last week. This week, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Eden Prairie Pizza Luce. Chin music with Lavelle, Eneal III, and Roy Smalley. Roy's going to bring a bat. Anything could happen. Show up, have a beer, have a pizza. Check that out with us. We're going to tell you about some other cool stuff like Raising Your Paws, our pet show at TalkNorth.com, sponsored by Nutrisource. Thank you to our sponsors on this show, BetUS.com. We're going to do a picks later, Starbank, and Pizza Barn. So I'm just going to give you the most open-ended question. If we're not going to talk about the kicker, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I kind of came away with this a little kind of conflicted because I certainly feel better about this loss than I did about the Bengals loss. I think in Cincinnati, it was sloppy. It was haphazard. It was, you know, one team being overwhelmed on the offensive line. I think this time around, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a really good team, and I think they will win a lot of games this year. And so to go right down to the wire with them on the road and really have a chance to win and say you should have won the game, that's not bad. I mean, I think the offensive line was a heck of a lot better this week than it was last week, opening holes for Dalvin Cook, keeping Kirk Cousins clean. So from that aspect of things, I feel pretty good about a lot of what we saw out there on Sunday. But certainly there are some things that continue to need to be addressed. I thought, Jim, it was, you know, one of the things that was really interesting to me, if we want to kind of get around the kicking situation, is both at the end of the half and at the end of the game, I thought they were a little too conservative. Mm-hmm. In terms of like trying to put themselves in position. Now Joseph hit the 52-yarder at the end of the half, but they didn't really use the clock very well. I thought they should be going for a touchdown in that situation in a game that was shaping up like this. And so that to me was a red flag. And then at the end of the game, I thought that they left probably the opportunity to pick up at least another 10 or 15 yards on the table with just the way that they handled the clock. And yes, he should have made a 37-yarder that was straight on. There's no doubt about that. But you know the history of kicking with this organization. Make it as easy as possible for Greg Joseph to get up there and just knock it through. And I just thought that they were a little too cavalier about things and taking it almost for granted. And so I think that costs them a little bit.
I could not agree more. And listen, you know, the nature of modern media, we're supposed to argue about stuff, and I would love it if we disagreed and we could kind of have a long discussion about it, but you're right on. You know what the history, and here's the other thing. The offense, Dalvin Cook had a great game yesterday. The offensive line played really well. The offensive line, the combination of the offensive line, the fact that the Cardinals seemed to be intent on outside pressure and leaving a lot of room up the middle on simple runs. You know, you could have handed the ball to Dalvin Cook and he might have scored. Yes. Or he might have gotten inside the 10 and you have a chip shot. Because, hey, it's geometry. That kick, if you're 10 yards closer, that kick is good instead of just missing to the right. You know, Dalvin Cook might score there. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you have and you have a quarterback who's very cautious, who isn't going to throw an interception in that situation. If you call a pass play, he's going to check down. He's not going to throw an interception. Maybe one broken tackle, and that guy scores. So I couldn't agree more. You know your history. You know that this is a young a kicker who's already missed an extra point in this game. Why leave it up to him? Why not play football to win a football game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, what it comes down to. I mean, especially in the first half, you know, they had a lot of time on the clock. I think they called two straight runs at one point. And yeah, you think, okay, maybe Dalvin can pop that. But you also, the other part to look at is the way that Kirk Cousins was throwing the ball. I mean, he had time. He was accurate. He was putting the ball right on his receivers. He was ultra reliable. And you were picking up big chunks of yardage in the passing game as well. So, I mean, this was a 34-33 game. This game was built for offense. And so you should have some faith in what you had seen in your offense in both of those scenarios to really kind of try to put the knife in. You know, when you play for field goals like this in a game like that, I don't know, man. It just it kind of just made me scratch my head a little bit. You know, with Greg Joseph too now I think like Zim's got a challenge ahead of him, and I for one would not be one to cut bait with Greg Joseph after missing that field goal. I mean, he kicked 252 yarders in this game. He kicked a 53 yarder last game. I think the last thing you want to do is get into some sort of musical chairs with your kicker and see Greg Joseph go become Daniel Carlson somewhere else.
I agree completely. There is something, a nuance there I want to pick at. We will get to that here in a second. I want to tell you that, again, this is TalkNorth.com. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Brandon Morton is our longtime producer. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all the shows as they're released. If you'd like to advertise with the show or the network, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. And thanks again to our sponsors, BetUS.com, Star Bank, and Pizza Barn. We will be picking games and let you know how you can use the BetUS app or website in a little bit here. I'm going to delay the Kirk Cousins talk because it's always so easy to talk about Kirk Cousins. We'll get back to that. Here, besides the obvious, which is 0-2 is not a very good record to start with, you have Seattle and Cleveland coming in. Mm-hmm. Not unbeatable teams, but good teams and challenging teams. And here's my concern. You get the great game from Dalvin Cook yesterday. You had a good game from Dalvin Cook. Well, not, you know, an iffy. I don't know. I don't know how to characterize Dalvin's game in Cincinnati. It was just okay. It was a bad offense.
And that wasn't his fault. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But he was great yesterday. And guess what? He looks like he left it on the field, as the cliche goes, including his ankle. His ankle is now sore. You have to play Seattle coming in here. Seattle isn't the defensive juggernaut it once was, but it's a well-coached team. Man, I would hate to see how this team functions without Dalvin Cook.
Oh, absolutely. And I had kind of in our picks at The Athletic going into this game, I picked the Cardinals to win in a walk, so clearly I was not right there. But I said basically the one chance that the Vikings had to really make this a game was for Dalvin Cook to explode, because he just has that effect on what the offense does. He opens things up so much for everyone else. And guess what? He did explode. He was terrific. The offensive line was really good. I thought Garrett Bradbury had a great game after having some real struggles both last week and really throughout his career. I thought he was getting great push in the interior and opening those holes for Dalvin Cook. And it was, you know, a wonderful performance. And those are the ones that you really hate to quote unquote waste, because it is hard in this day and age to churn out those yards all the time through your running game. It you know, just with the game, the way the game is built, it is more toward passing, and there's Tennessee and there's Baltimore and there's the Vikings and maybe one or two other teams that like to do it kind of conversely. But we have seen, Jim, what it looks like when Dalvin Cook is not rolling, and he was not rolling against Cincinnati. And then the entire offense really just had a hard time figuring things out. And so to get him rolling the way that he was in that game, and then to still come away with a loss, that makes it incredibly difficult, and it makes it sting double if that's a possibility, because you already are in the hole with losing to Cincinnati week one. Like, that was one of the games that you looked at and said, this has got to be a win if you want to get to that 10 win mark and really have a chance at the playoffs. So you lose that one. A way to steal back a game is to go to Arizona and win. And go to a game where you're not expected to perform well, and you probably look before the season and say, yeah, well, that's a loss. And so to let that one slip through your fingers, now you're 0-2. Now this sets up this next three-game homestand, and it's crucial. Like, the season may hinge on these next three games here. If you don't come out with at least two, and ideally all three, yikes, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and the 17-game schedule does make things interesting. We know that 0-2 teams hardly ever make the playoffs, like 11% of the time, 12% of the time. There's some stat out there. 17-game season, there's a little more, maybe there's a little more wiggle room. Maybe 0-2 isn't quite as devastating, but that does not encourage me because of the way these two games have gone. I want to talk about the offensive line. We ripped on them, and they deserve it last week. I thought they played well this week. I want to get into a lot of aspects of that. We do want to thank our sponsors, BetUS.com, Starbank, and Pizza Barn. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com. They have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code TNORTH125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sportsbook for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all of your NBA and NHL games with team and player props, loads of NHL futures, and NFL odds up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all of your favorite horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Now let's hear from John Krasinski. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you about Starbank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Starbank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Starbank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Starbank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Starbank is a member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. I will also tell you that I'm working with Starbank on a personal thing right now, and they are just great to deal with. It does not feel like you're dealing with, you know, some huge conglomerate. You're dealing with a local bank that cares about you. I really appreciate that. Speaking of the local touch, Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Jody Stay runs the ultimate local, conscientious community business. She takes care of local refs and officials. She employs high school kids and works their schedule so they can still, you know, do all their activities and their games. It's a great place to hang out. It's a great place to have a beer. It's a great place to have pizza. Now they, you know, of course they deliver. You can do pickup. You can do any COVID safe protocol you need to do. They also now have a great food truck. And it's not just pizza. My wife loved the cheesecake on a stick. Food truck that'll go anywhere, any kind of event you want to put on. I have friends who have hired the Pizza Barn truck, and it is a blast to have it show up and feed your staff, your friends, your family, whatever. Go to Pizza Barn Princeton and check it out. All right, let's get to the offensive line. They're horrible against Cincinnati, both penalties and just blocking, especially pass blocking. And all of a sudden they come up against Chandler Jones on a defense that had been dominant the week before, and they – I mean, again, I can't just say that they like blew open huge holes for Dalvin Cook. There were plays where Ezra Cleveland was looking for somebody to block because there was nobody in the middle of the line. I mean, it was obvious that Arizona was like, if we can get around the edge and disrupt Cousins, you know, we're going to win this game. They left huge swaths of land open for Dalvin Cook. So it wasn't that they were just great, but they were good enough. And they protected Kirk Cousins better than any of us would have expected. And this really speaks to why we love the NFL and why the NFL is so fascinating. That unit goes from horrible to pretty good in 1 week for no apparent reason.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I mean, you know, I think, like, first of all, obviously, it was a much more disciplined performance. They didn't have the penalties that set them back so often against Cincinnati. And so when you are starting drives or, you know, going first and 15 so often, as they were early against Cincinnati, it makes it hard to run your offense the way that they want to do it. They were able to not get penalized, and also only one sack for Kirk Cousins, which means that they were very rarely kind of in second and third and long situations. And this is an offense that thrives on second and third and short. Well, you know, which offense doesn't, but I think it's really important for this offense because then it brings in a little more unpredictability. It brings in play action to the mix. It allows them to keep the defense on their heels. And that's what happened on Sunday for so much of the game. The other part that was really impressive is it seemed like, especially as they got down inside the red zone, you did see Garrett Bradbury really pushing the nose tackle out of the way quite a bit. Tyler Conklin had a couple of really nice blocks. They seemed to be a lot more in sync. Now, where does Arizona's defensive line rank with some of the others? We'll find out. But certainly when Chandler Jones just wreaks havoc the week before and then is pretty darn quiet for almost all of that game on Sunday, you did something right. And so not only did Dalvin Cook have room to run, but Kirk Cousins had time to throw. And lo and behold, when that happens, you put up, 33 points. Now, though, I do think, though, where we have to kind of bring a whole balanced view of it is, like, as good as everything seemed to go on paper there, they still really struggled in the second half to generate offense. I mean, they had the defensive touchdown, but they only scored 3 points in the second half. So this wasn't like a complete game. It wasn't a total domination or anything like that. They did run in a little bit of ebbs and flows, but it was certainly cleaner and more encouraging from week one into week two here.
And you have finally brought me to the point where I can no longer avoid talking about the quarterback position. So let's get to it. And I know a lot of people hate my positions on Kirk Cousins. But to me, yesterday was, and I know if you're a Kirk Cousins fan or apologist or defender, you're looking saying, hey, 33 points against a team that was dominant defensively the week before. Kicker makes the field goal. Then he's the guy who brought you back and won the game for you. He was efficient. He didn't turn the ball over. He even ran well. I agree. I agree with all of that. That's all factual. It's all true. Here's the thing, though. Arizona blows a coverage and gives you a free 70-yard touchdown on what, the first or second play of the game,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, free points. Now, credit to him. He saw the open receiver. He didn't miss the open receiver. Sometimes you see people actually blow that situation. So, okay, he made that play. I give it to him. The rest of the game, and we're looking at this game like it's a crazy video game where anything can happen, and Murray's going crazy, but also throwing interceptions. And I mean, 67 points are scored in this game. It's one of these modern NFL games where the defense is just the defense. Their heads are spinning. They can't keep up with what's going on, right? Well, the Vikings scored a defensive touchdown. They were gifted a touchdown the second play of the game. Otherwise, the last 59 minutes of the game, they scored two touchdowns. And that's, listen, in most games, maybe that's enough. They scored two touchdowns. Dalvin Cook ran wild. There was no resistance against the running game. You have Thielen and Jefferson out there. We know those guys are always open because they're excellent route runners and excellent receivers. The offensive line played really well. And you just didn't score many points the rest of the game offensively. You just didn't, And this is where I go big picture. You can, and so often you can say, hey, this game Cousins played really well. This game Cousins played really well. Oh, look at Cousins' season-ending statistics. Threw for 4,000 yards, was efficient. I mean, there are always statistical bases for defending Kirk Cousins. I got to go really big picture here. And against my own instincts, because I usually don't like to talk about pitchers' win-loss record or quarterback win-loss records, but Kirk Cousins' career record, 51-53-2. Kirk Cousins' record now with the Minnesota Vikings. They went 13-3 the year before he arrived. He was supposed to elevate the franchise. His record as a Vikings starting quarterback, 25-23-1. He just doesn't elevate the franchise. He plays well. He plays well at times. He plays well in stretches. He's efficient. He throws, he always gets his yards. But does he elevate the franchise? And I would argue that if Zimmer had more confidence in his quarterback, I mean, a real pure personal level, he doesn't wait around and kick a 37-yard field goal. He tries to go in and score or get the ball closer at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, locally here, fans will probably look at, you can look at Kirk Cousins, you can look at Carl Anthony Towns the same way. You know, there's this idea in the NBA of empty stats, or, you know, do you contribute to winning? That's a big part of the conversation there in terms of does your 26-12 contribute to winning, or did you put up 26-12 and you lost by 10 points? More often than not, we see with Kirk Cousins a case where the Vikings lose the game. And even during the game, you're like, you know, he's playing fine. He's playing pretty well. And then at the end of the game, the numbers just look a heck of a lot better than what the overall product was. And I just think that you do see that scenario with Kirk Cousins come up a lot. I think in this game in particular, a couple of times it does seem like the ball was taken out of his hands. I mean, you know, at the end of the first half, I don't think that they allowed him to really kind of go for the throat the way that maybe you would have if you have a Patrick Mahomes, if you have, you know, an Aaron Rodgers or something like that. At the end of the game, they probably did play it a little bit safer because they just said, look, we're in position here. Let's not have an interception. Let's not have a sack fumble. And let's just go win this game that way. So you can see why they made these decisions. But in the end, some of it does go back to Kirk. Look at what happened on Sunday night with Kansas City, Baltimore. 4th-and-1, to the chance to really salt the game away. And John Harbaugh says to Lamar Jackson, Lamar, do you want to go for it? And Lamar says, yes. And they go for it. And they get it. And it all works out. And Baltimore wins the game. Certainly, you know, I think Mike Zimmer has shown that kind of confidence in Cousins before, but then it didn't work out in Seattle. So I think looking at this game in particular, I thought Cousins played well. And, you know, the other part that we have to mention here in fairness to Kirk is the deep throw down the sideline to Jefferson
that went right through his hands.
I mean, that was a clutch throw in a big moment. And Jefferson, it would have been a great catch, but it wasn't a super easy catch, but he should have caught it. So Cousins made a lot of good plays here and a lot of things happen that you think at the end of the day that, you know, it would be easy for a Cousins apologist to say, hey, you know, this game wasn't on the quarterback, but yeah, like there were times in the second half where things just stalled out and they needed a little bit more, from the offense, even though the vigil interception return kind of turned things a little wonky and limited the Vikings' possessions a little bit in that third quarter. There are more times than not where there are opportunities out there for Cousins to say, I'm taking this game by the throat and I'm not letting us lose. And, you know, that hasn't happened very often for him. He has not been able to pull that off. I think that there were greater culprits for the loss in this particular week. But by and large, when you look at Cousins' tenure here, that's kind of the takeaway is he has a lot of good numbers, but he just was not able to kind of transcend whatever performance was happening on the field and not allow his team to lose. And that we just haven't seen that enough from Kirk Cousins.
Right. And this is a harder conversation to have this year because he is completing a career best percentage. Second high is almost 300 yards a game. Hasn't turned the ball over. Early last year, first six games of last year, he destroyed the team. He destroyed the team's chances. Yep. It was easy to rip him. He's not destroying the team's chances this year. And the losses aren't his fault specifically. It's just that he's just not the guy you pay $33 million to elevate your franchise, because the record tells you he doesn't elevate the franchise. He completes passes. They're two different things. And as you said, three offensive points in the second half three offensive points in the second half against in a wide open, crazy scoring game. And that's it. It's not that it was Cousins' fault. That's not the right way to frame it. The question was, is Cousins worth $33 million under these circumstances? And that's where I say he's not. But I'm sure the apologists will continue to defend him because that's what the apologists do.
Yeah, and Jim, though, I mean, if I'm Kirk Cousins after that game, and let's just say that, you know, he was injected with some sort of truth serum. He was, you know,
he doesn't like shots.
Wonder Woman put the lasso of truth around him, and so he could not tell a lie, and he had to say exactly what he's thinking. He would have every right to say, "Hey, look, we ended up 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. We put, you know, there's 33 points on the board. And meanwhile, the defensive coach who put all of this investment into the defense has guys running wide open for 77-yard touchdowns and having these huge breakdowns. And oh, by the way, also letting the Cardinals offense put a 62-yard field goal on the end at the end with a 20 when they only had the ball with like 20 seconds to go and march down and get a field goal. That, you know, let's turn our eye a little bit more to the defense here, because everyone does want to blame me, and maybe we did fall a little bit short that way, but sure, it would be nice if the defense actually showed up for more than a quarter in a game and got a couple of stops as well. I think that's totally fair.
Yeah, it is fair. And once again, that goes back to it. There's a difference between saying it's all Cousins' fault and saying, God, you just need your, you know, if once again, it really comes down to investment and expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just want to look at Cousins' stats and game by game, there's always an excuse there. There's always a reason that he's not the problem. But again, it's like in modern NFL, everybody's looking for the quarterback who erases your problems, who makes up for your weaknesses. And that's what he doesn't do. You know, he doesn't take the game and say, okay, don't worry about the offensive line. Okay, don't worry about the defense giving up points. I'm going to find a way. He kind of does his job in a very workmanlike, understated way. And that's not what I pay $33 million a year for.
Yeah, and when you look at this fourth quarter for this defense, in fairness to the defense, first of all, they got the defensive touchdown in the second, yep, in the third quarter. Then you hold Kyler Murray and this wide open, very explosive Arizona Cardinals offense to 3 points in the fourth quarter, just mm-hmm. 3, you know, like that you got to feel fantastic about. And they were, you know, even like there was a point there, Jim, you know, at the end of the game where the Vikings punted with over 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes to go. And I thought, holy cow. Like, I don't think I would have had the guts if I were Zimmer to punt in that situation, because I'm saying, you're going to ask this defense to stop that offense in this, you know, in this pseudo 2 minute drill type of a situation where they can just run out the clock. But guess what? The defense did it. They stood up. Cam Dantzler, you know, well done. And they got the ball back to the Vikings offense, and Cousins got them down there and they missed the field goal. So, but in that situation, when you are on the road and you are holding a team to 3 points in the fourth quarter of a really tight game, you really kind of need your quarterback to come up big. Whether it's your quarterback or your running back, one of the two star players that you're paying a ton of money to, they have to come up big and they have to go win the game, because you just don't win many games in the NFL these days with a shutdown defense. It just doesn't happen. And so the offense didn't do it. They did not provide. All you need is 3 extra points in the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't come up with it.
Let's do the BetUS Smart Bets of the Week. Want to let you know the promo code again is TNorth125 at betus.com. If you like crypto, if you use crypto, you can use the promo code TNorth200 and you'll get 200% crypto signing bonus. I don't know how to do that, but maybe I'll figure it out, because that'd be fun to do. Let's do 4 quick picks. Carolina, very intriguing team against Houston Thursday night. Carolina giving away 7.5 points. Houston's a tough team to gauge. They're not as bad as we thought they were, but they're probably not good either.
I don't think they're good, but you're right, Jim. I've been surprised at what we've seen from the Texans so far. They've been a little feisty. So 7.5 points seems like a lot to give up, because I don't trust Carolina that much either. So I'm going to take the Texans to cover there.
I'm going to take Carolina to win big, because I do think Houston has come out with a lot of feistiness, but I don't think it's a good team. And I think one thing that happens in the NFL is sometimes teams start realizing teams will really fall apart when they start realizing they aren't really good. And I think the Texans are about to figure out that they're not very good. So I'm going to take Carolina there. Arizona against Jacksonville. I know it's a weird game, but I'm intrigued. I'm always intrigued by high point spreads in the NFL because there are so many backdoor covers. Arizona giving 7 to Jacksonville.
You know, Jim, I thought someone made a good point. I can't remember who it was I saw on Twitter yesterday, but like it's funny because we've heard a lot of conversation about, you know, Justin Fields and Lance and a lot of these quarterbacks that are in this. Trevor Lawrence has sort of flown under the radar. Like, he's the 1 overall pick, and he has looked really good at times. He's going to make mistakes. They're going to allow him to make mistakes, but I love his arm talent. And I just think that I wonder if people have just taken it for granted. Well, yeah, Lawrence is Lawrence. And so let's just concentrate more on the other guys, Mac Jones and everybody else in this class. But I think that Trevor Lawrence is great. That said, I really like Arizona. I think they're going to bounce back from, you know, maybe some defensive breakdowns that they had against the Vikings. And I think they're going to win comfortably.
It would be an easy place for Arizona to let down after two wild, high-scoring games. I just don't think Kyler Murray's style of play or his intensity or Rondale Moore's intensity allows them to not score 30. So I'm going to take Arizona as well. Let's see. Tampa, pick 'em against the Rams. Fascinating game. Best game of the week.
Great game. And it's yeah, pick 'em is right. I think it's, you know, you do flip a coin here with them. I love that Brady game right now. 4 touchdowns in 2 weeks. And I just trust them even more than I do Matthew Stafford and the Rams, even though the Rams have looked good as well. So I'm leaning ever so slightly toward Brady and the Bucs, and I just think they're going to find a way to squeeze it out.
I'm going to take the team that doesn't have to fly 5 hours across the country, and I'm going to take the team – you know, we know the Rams aren't going undefeated. The Bucs aren't going undefeated either. They're going to lose someplace, sometime, and this looks as logical a place for them to lose as any. They're riding high, and the Rams are really good, and I think this will be a kind of a statement game for the Rams. I think Stafford finds a way to get it done. Now, of course, the big pick of the week, Seattle giving a point to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium.
This is a tough one. I certainly feel better about the Vikings and what I saw yesterday against Arizona. I felt terrible about them after the Bengals game. They cleaned up a lot of their mistakes. The defense always does play better at home. So they'll have that going for them. That said, I can't pick against Russell Wilson. Against this defense, against Kirk Cousins. I think the Seahawks are 5-0 against Zimmer in Zimmer's time with the Vikings. It'll probably be another very close game, probably coming down the wire. But when you're talking about close games, who are you betting on? I'm betting on Russell Wilson, and so I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one.
I agree with everything you just said, and because it's the NFL and sometimes desperation wins the day, I'm going to take the Vikings, even though I think in my heart, in my brain, Seattle is the better team and Seattle's going to win. Seattle's going to have a better season. If I look around the NFL and look at the scoreboards the first 2 weeks, there's so many unexpected outcomes. There's so many reversions to overreaction. I just think the Vikings, once again, the Vikings aren't going to go winless. They're going to win a certain number of games this year. They're going to be absolutely desperate. I just think they're going to win a contrarian game and a close one. I bet it's going to be by a Greg Joseph field goal, Vikings 24, Seattle 21. That's my final pick. Hey, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Check out all the other shows at TalkNorth.com, including all of our outdoor content. We also have Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider coming up later this week. Check out our show, live show Wednesday night at Pizza Luce with Roy and Lavelle. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com.